on it. Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. All right, Luke chapter 2. Now, tonight, we're going to do a little bit of Bible turning. Y'all don't mind that. That's what we're here. It's Bible study, right?
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to turn a little bit in our Bibles. And can y'all thank Mr. Prather for turning that air off? Say thank you, Mr. Prather. Hey, thank you, Mr. Prather. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading in verse 40. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit." You guys there?
Yes, sir.
"Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances." All right, let me stop right here. Let's get a picture. I like to paint a picture. Y'all don't mind?
Yes, sir.
Let's think about this now. They said they went to the Feast of the Passover. So imagine us leaving here. Now, Karen and I have some friends that live in Minnesota, and they were moving, and they got a U-Haul truck, and they drove all the way to Minnesota, and they told us that was like 24 hours in the car. How many of y'all ever drove that long in the car? No. Bless your heart, Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I don't like going 5 hours in the car. We went to Myrtle Beach, and that was 6 hours, 7 hours, I think, and I was shaking then, you know? And so the drive, no, the worst one was Florida. We drove to Disney World 1 year, and from here, that was like 13, 14 hours, and you got little kids and all that. That was horrible. So imagine you driving all the way somewhere like Minnesota, something like that, 24 hours in the car, and let's say it's me, Karen and I in our car, my son John's driving his car, my daughter Ashley's got her car. We're supposing that Dominique is in one of the other cars, the Speeds are with us, our friends, you know, and we get all the way back to Minnesota. We come all the way to Maryland, have church service here, and go all the way back to Minnesota, only to find out Dominique not in the car.
Oh, boy.
I want you to think of your kids. Think of how you would feel if this happened to you. So now you're going back and going, wait a minute, I thought they was in your car. Nah, Dad. I thought they was in your car. Nah, Dad. LSP telling me they, you know, as a parent, I wonder how many parents can feel me here. Now, we done drove all the way back and got to Minnesota, and the kid ain't there. Trying to get your picture. How you feel? Uh-huh. "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple." So we went a day's journey, but it took us 3 days to find him, which means we stopped at every rest stop, everywhere we went, we backtracked looking for him, and then we come and we found him in the church.
Right.
"Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now I'm just reading it in the religious format, because that's not how they said this.
That's right.
Who's got it amplified? Who's got it amplified? You got it amplified? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to verse 48 and start reading verse 48 in Amplified. I'm going to give you a picture of how it was.
"And when they, Joseph and Mary, that is, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Child."
Stop right there. Let's take the D off that. Okay? They was amazed, not like, oh my God, he's so deep, he's teaching. No, think about you. Think about your children. I think about how I felt. Child, why you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking around. We've been sorrowing. I think the Amplified says something different about they basically was in terror because they couldn't find their baby. Now, I want to show you what their baby says here. Watch his answer. He said unto them, how is it you're looking for me? Didn't you guys know I'm supposed to be about my father's business? Now, he's 12, but a 12-year-old didn't go with his mom and father. Now, listen, that was wrong. It wasn't sin yet, because later on when you read down here, it says, and Jesus got in a van, and he became subject unto them, because here's what it says. It says, and they didn't understand him in verse 50, what he was talking about, because I'm sure they still was upset. We don't even understand what you said, but here's what we go. You coming with us. And he went with the mother and father. But the point I want to make out of all this, and I'm sure they got to him, they were very upset. They were very hyper. They just went, what are you doing here? That he took 4 days that he didn't hang with his parents to stay and look for his purpose or to study for his purpose. Let's say that. He knew he's here for a reason. And he said, don't you know I'm here for my father's business? At 12 years old, he was preparing to walk in what he was supposed to be here for. Out of all of the hoopla and them being upset, he was still focused. He said, don't y'all know I'm here? I'm focused. I'm here about my father's business. Now, the reason why I'm gonna share this tonight with you is because everybody in here is supposed to be about their father's business.
Come on.
Now, I don't wanna get religious with it. I want you to hear what I wanna say tonight, because there's something that God has for all of us to do. And there's a call on everybody's life. But I want to talk about the Father's business as a ministry corporately. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I want to talk to us as a church family tonight about our Father's business. Earlier this year, our pastor said we were talking about goals and some things that we wanted to achieve as a ministry. And he talked to me and he talked to some of the leadership. And he gave us an illustration. He said that he and Al had gone to a fast food restaurant that sold chicken. And he said that when they got to the window, the lady said, we out of chicken. We out of chicken. And he said, he asked the question, he said, you out of what? He said, we out of chicken. And then Al said, out of chicken? How can they be out of the main thing that they sell? Now, I have personally been to places and they've been out of straws. They've been out of French fries. They've been out of desserts. There's not enough little sweet stuff in the soda. You know what I mean? They've been out of certain things. But I've never gone to a burger place, they said, we ain't got no burgers. I've never gone to a chicken place and heard them say, we ain't got no chicken. And it's surprising to me that they was out of chicken. Now, I'm sure they probably offered them, said, well, I'll tell you what, we can give you about 4 or 5 fries. We can give you some. They probably offered them something else, but I didn't drive here. I didn't come here to get the side orders. I came here to get what you sell. And so he said, God talked to him about us as a ministry and that we can never run out of what we sell. And the thing that we as a church, as believers, are supposed to be giving people when they come to church is love. And if we don't have love, I don't care. We could play softball. We could have good music. That's right. We could have people running around here serving, doing all kind of stuff. It don't make a difference. But if there's no love in here, it's almost like you going to one of those restaurants and them telling you they ain't got no chicken, no hamburgers, no ribs. Go to Ruth Chris and they ain't got no steak. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. Well, I'll take the mau gras potatoes and the cream spinach. Give me 2 more of those. You wouldn't do that. What would you do? You would leave. You would leave. Because there is the thing that you're supposed to have is not present. And I need you to think about this now. How many places have you gone and they didn't have something and it bothered you? Now, I know as a ministry, sometimes we can come in and we're looking for all the activities and things to do as a church, and that's a good thing. But if there's no love, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if we don't have love, you can have faith to move mountains and do great things. But if you don't have love, you're nothing in the eyesight of God. We're just nothing. What's the point? And we have to have some results, and love brings the results into the church. So I want you to think about that. God's looking for us to have results. Say, I need you to love. Tell your neighbor, I need you to love. Yeah. Tell somebody else, I need you to love. Yeah, we need to work on this. We need to work on this love thing. And here's the thing. You can't just look at somebody else and go, I hope so-and-so is here listening to this right now. Because I'm going to tell you right now, them ushers, the people in the tape ministry, the hospitality, you're going through all these other people. I need you to think about yourself. Because you're part of this ministry. And so, and love, if we can't love and we can't love one another, we can't do it the right way, why bring people here to get their lives changed?
Amen. It ain't gonna happen, amen?
So one of the things that I put down here, I thought about just using that as an analogy about a business, and we're supposed to be about a father's business. I thought about businesses that do run out of stuff. Now, if you run out the main thing, something's not in order. Would you say that? I mean, it's crazy that you order more French fries than you do hamburgers if you're a hamburger place. You understand? So something's not right. There's some mismanagement somewhere. And I believe sometimes in the church, we got some mismanagement. We'll put other things prior than the love thing. We work on other activities and group things that we need to do and all this other stuff. And then we don't develop in the thing that we're supposed to be developing in. And then we don't actually get the results we're supposed to get in the lives of the people. Amen. And people don't come places where they're not treated right. Everybody, it's just a natural thing. Like I said, this is Bible study, this is one talk. And when it's time to stop, I'm just going to stop. I will probably be back next week. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. So here's what we need to do. Let's look at this love thing. Now, I don't want you to tune out and go, I've heard messages on love before. Because faith comes by hearing, but there's something different God's going to say to us as a church through Elder John. And I know I heard from the Lord. Amen. Because I didn't know I was supposed to do this. And the Lord dropped this in me. I'm like, that's good, Lord. Man, I want to sit down and hear it myself. So I'm hearing it too. So let's go to Matthew 22. Let's look at some love stuff. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And say this, I walk in love.
I walk in love.
For real.
For real.
All right, we're going to see how to do it. And we're going to put some things in proper order. All right, Matthew 22:34 says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. So Jesus was a bad boy. He pretty much, you know, whenever the Pharisees or the Sadducees wanted to tempt him or something, the Sadducees had done something to try to tempt him, and he just shut them up. You know, he just had that kind of wisdom. So when the Pharisees heard that, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. Now, the lawyer steps up. Now, think about a lawyer today. Got a lot of education. He steps up. Now, he wants to tempt Jesus in something. And he said to him, verse 36, Master. Now, that word master, to me, he's being smart with that. He's not honoring him saying master. Can you see him putting his hands in quotations? Master. Y'all see that? Watch this. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Can y'all see the picture here? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, this is the very first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Verse 40 says, on these two commandments, or these two orders, hang all the laws of the prophet. So he said, on these two things, you got to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything that you have. But there's a second one. That's it's twin. It's Siamese twin. You got to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Now I found another place where he talked to the disciples about love, and I want to turn there. So turn to John 13. Let's look at somewhere else he gave a commandment about love. John 13. Mm-hmm. And look at verse 34. Now he's talking to the disciples here, and this is right after he tells Judas, do what you're going to do. You're going to go on, tempt me, do all that stuff. And he's about to leave here, and he's giving his disciples some instructions. And verse 34 says, a new commandment or a new order I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So now, one commandment, he says, I want you to love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, your neighbor as yourself. But now he's talking to the disciples later on, and he says, now here's what I want you to do, a new commandment. Not that it replaces the old commandment. It's just in addition to. You ever get an app and then you get an update? Y'all know what I'm talking about, who has smartphones or you got a program on your computer and then you get an update. So I'm not negating what the foundation of love is. You got to love God. But ultimately, I wanted you to get to the point where you love one another a certain way. Here's why. So that the world will know that you're my disciples. So see the progression here. You love God, love your neighbors. Okay, that was for that time. But now here's the update to this thing. Now you should be mature enough to love one another. And here's why we had to say it like this, because I can no longer just measure love based on how I do it. You see, he made himself the benchmark here. He said, love him like I've loved you. Because think about it. If Peter says to Bartholomew, if you don't get in the car, I'm gonna leave you. And then he leaves him. Well, why did you leave him? Because I would expect people to leave me if I was late. Ever had somebody tell you something like that? Mm-hmm. See, so you can't be the measuring stick anymore. Because see, if you might not have proper love for yourself. So now, here's what we gotta do. We gotta make Jesus the measuring stick. And he said, here's the reason why. So people can know that you're my disciples. Why is that important? Remember in Mark chapter 9, when the guy brought his son to him and he said, he's got this devil. My baby is burned himself in fire and he's trying to drown himself. He's trying to commit suicide. I don't know what to do. And I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. But I brought him to a place or to someone that should be able to help him and they couldn't do nothing. Because disciples and people who follow Christ should be doing miraculous things. And so for people to know that you're the people to do miracles, you gotta love one another. This is how they're gonna identify who you are. So now we take it up another notch, because if you don't have love for one another, why should I come to your church? Do you understand? Can y'all see where I'm going with this? Why come to your church? Why hear what you gotta say? I had people for years telling me about coming to their church, but I never went because of how they conducted themselves. I said, why am I going to your church? You feel what I'm saying? You ain't living nothing. You nasty to me here. You talk about you go to church. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. This is my experience, okay? Some of the meanest people that I had come across back in the day telling me to go to church were so mean. It wasn't men. It was some ladies that used to go, you know, they would be nasty. They'd go to church and they were just so mean. And they said it mean, boy, you need to get to church somewhere. And I know she was right. I knew they were right. It's just how they said it. You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? The church, and the one thing that I knew, if I didn't know nothing else, was that people were supposed to be nice at church. You understand? If I didn't know all the stuff about faith and miracles and, you know, Jesus walking on water, all that stuff. Here's what I did know. The one thing I do know is this. You're supposed to be nice. I'm just, you need to get your black behind the church some daggone way. Okay, well, I'm coming to yours. It just wasn't said properly. Now, that was my experience, okay? And the truth is truth. I needed to go to church, but that didn't draw me to church. You understand? The thing that drew me was the people that treated me a certain way. How I was treated, how they loved me, that drew me, man. That's the thing that made me want to come to church. And again, I'm not talking about we want people to come to church just because we want to fill our church. We know we got something here that's going to change people's lives. We know when our man of God stands up in his pulpit and he opens that Bible and starts talking, there's a presence of an anointing there. And people, you can see, I sit on the side sometimes on purpose just so I can watch people's faces. To see him go, oh my God, I never heard this before. And the revelation that gets uncovered, that's why we want him to come. That's why we want him to tune in. It's one thing to tune into the internet and watch it, that's okay. But it's another thing when you come with the saints and then we have worship and we lift in our hands and then we say there's an altar call and people get healed. That's another encounter. And this is why we want people to come. And this is why we declare we're the fastest growing church, because we have to get people in here to change their lives. We know and we keep saying it, this thing is closing up. And there's people that are going to go to hell if we don't do what we're supposed to do. One of the things we have to do as individuals is work on this love thing. Amen. So say, I walk in love. I live in love. I sleep in love. Everything about me is love. You understand what I'm saying? And then don't look at other people and measure it and start judging. Let's look at ourselves. I hear Michael Jackson. Hear it? Hear him, Man in the Mirror. Can y'all hear the song right now? I'm not going to do that to y'all tonight. Y'all don't deserve that because y'all came out in the rain. So I won't punish you. All right. All right. So now here's, I want to go back and I want to look at Luke chapter 11, the same account in Matthew 22 and Luke 11. Let's see. Luke has a different picture of this. And we're looking at ourselves. I think it's Luke 10. Let me just double check it. Luke chapter 10. Verse 23. It says, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that they see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things, which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a lawyer stood up to tempt him. This is the same account. This is Luke's version of it. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? And how readest thou? He says, how do you read it? You tell me now how you read it. Then he says, answering, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and you shall live.
Amen.
He said, if you're looking for life, here's how you get life. You do that. You love God. You love yourself. You love your neighbor like you love yourself. And here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have life. And I don't have the Amplified Version, but the Amplified Version says something a little bit different.
Luke 23.
Yes. Give me verse 28. Yes.
Okay, there you go. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live, enjoy active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God.
Amen. You will live and enjoy an active and blessed life. If you can put God first and love God like you're supposed to, that's the first thing we have to do. Now, we'll get to the loving your neighbor part, but the first thing is first. You can't update something that you haven't downloaded. Okay? So now the first thing that we have to get in order, it says that's like buying a bunch of French fries and straws and then going, oh Lord, we ain't got enough money for hamburgers. That's crazy, right? The very first thing that we need to focus on and be in order is, I got to love God. That's the very first thing. If you're gonna have anything work well in your life and we're gonna be the church that we're supposed to be, God has to be first. It can't be your ministry, it can't be your job, it can't be nothing. God has to be the very first thing in your life. He has to be priority. He has to be the person that you love the most. So I want you to say with a very loud voice, I love my God.
I love my God.
I felt that. In the city of my soul, I felt that. Let's say it again. I love my God.
I love my God.
Y'all feel it?
Yes.
Now here's what I've come to learn. When I put God first and I talk about God first and he's priority in my worship and everything that I do, I find that there's a presence and he shows up. I'll prove it and show you something a little bit later with that. That he wants to be loved. He desires to be loved. He's looking for you to love him. He's looking for you to give him all the attention you're supposed to give him. God wants the love. And here's why he wants it. Not because he's trying to, people say he's a jealous guy. He loves us so much that the Bible says that, but here's why he loves us. Because when we love him, there's something that's reciprocated that comes back to our lives. He's always thinking of us. He's always mindful of us. He's always got us at the forefront of his thinking. So when you put all your attention on loving him and focusing on him, and I just want you and whatever you want me to do in life, Lord, I just want you more than anything else.
Amen.
Then stuff starts showing up. And then look, you start getting that blessed, that active. You start seeing things happen. And see, it's not even just all about that. It's just about when I'm focused on you, Lord, because I couldn't even breathe without you. I couldn't find anything going on in my life until you gave me light and gave me focus. So why would I focus on anything else over you? And see, we get it twisted sometimes. We get so involved in life that we put him on the back burner. We make decisions without consulting him first. And he wants to be sought first. He wants to be the primary thing in your life. He wants to be God. He wants to love you. And then everything that you're looking for, he'll add it because he knows what you need. He knows what you desire. He knows what you want. I always refer to Solomon when I get up here and talk to you guys. Remember Solomon said, it's nothing else. I'm just loving you, Lord. Show me how to love your people. And he said, just give me the wisdom on how to lead these people because you care about them. I care about what you care about. And then God said, because you didn't ask for all this other stuff, but I know you want, I gave it to you anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
So what are you seeking? Are you seeking God or are you seeking yourself? All right. We're trying to fix it. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. All right. We're doing all right. All right. All right. Turn to John 14. I'm just trying to put some things in order. And again, I'll use the analogy. Don't buy a bunch of straws and don't get no hamburgers. Don't buy a bunch of french fries and you're supposed to be selling chicken. You got a bunch of french fries. I get some more potato wedges. I don't want them potato wedges. I need some chicken. So when people come here, they're not looking for a good just dance ministry. They're not looking to hear a good choir. They're not just looking for just have good programs and mentoring children. They're looking to get their lives changed. People got devils chasing them. They got stuff in their life that they can't get off, and they need the love of God to show up and help them. You can't love them until you get God priority first. You can't help until God is first. Ah, thank you, Lord. All right, I said John 14, right? Wait a minute. Let me just double check that. I got the scripture right. John 14. Let's go. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, I need you to show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I not been so long with time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? How you ask me this question? If you see me, son, you've seen the Father. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he's the one that does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Amen. He's just laying it out. He said, the Father's in me. If you just ask anything in my name, it's going to happen for you. Then watch verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So now we got a clue. How do we love the Father, Elder John? Very first thing he says, if you really love me. Now, I just told you I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. So if I'm going to love the Father, we love Jesus. But how do we love you? Doing what you say. That's the main reason. I know you said, well, I can love him and I close my eyes and I tell him I love him. That's good. Real love says I flow with what you say, even if I don't even agree with it in my flesh. And see, that's that right there, that's when the rubber meets the road. Because you can say you love God and totally do something totally outside of what he's telling us to do. You can totally not do anything and say, I love the Lord. And deep down, based on this scripture, well, just think to yourself, don't ask your neighbor, are you a hypocrite? Somebody called me that this week and called me a hypocrite. And I said, okay, you know, I almost took it personal. But then I said, I got to love them like Jesus loved them. And I got to just let it go and forgive them. Because I was like, wait a minute. Then I had to ask myself, am I a hypocrite? He don't even come to church. He don't even love the Lord for real. But he called me a hypocrite. I said I was a hypocrite. But I know I'm not a hypocrite because, Lord, I want to do what you said. Amen. And it's easy to look at somebody else and judge their life and not know, but you're not even looking at yourself. And it's easy to do that with church. Church folks do it all the time. We go to church and we look at people and go, he ain't real. No, look at you. Are you real? Right. I was getting ready to say, we got to check our eye. That's right. Check our eye, man. It's not sleeping there. It's the pole. We got the pole in our eye and we're judging somebody else. But am I really loving like God wants me to love him? Am I doing what he told me to do? And I'm not just talking about the written word. There's certain things that God spoke to you spiritually that you ain't doing. Praise God. See, we got the written word, and we'll go to that. We're going to put stuff in order. But am I obeying the commands of the Lord? The basic written things that we hear preached over this pulpit all the time. We said this on Sunday. Am I tuning God out in certain areas where I know I need to change? When it comes down to the word being sown into my heart, am I tuning him out because I know I cannot submit to my husband or my wife? I can't tithe. I'm just not going to do it. How many of us are just tuning God out when he's talking to us about stuff? Teach. And I say this to my children all the time. Teach. I don't tell you stuff because I just want to get on your nerves. I don't. I mean, I'm having this conversation this morning with my son, and we're talking, and I'm saying, man, I need you to hear me. I don't say stuff to you because I'm trying to spoil your life. I'm not in your life for that reason. How many parents know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to be a jerk, you know? I'm trying to help love you because the only reason I'm telling you this stuff is because I don't want to see you getting a fix. I don't want to see you get in trouble. I'm trying to get you to understand because I love you. And if I've been through certain things. Right. I done walked through this. So I know you're smart. I'm not trying to rule your life like that, but I'm trying to help you so you don't get in trouble. That's right. So you don't end up in a fix, so you don't end up broke. You don't do this. You need to be doing this. And that's the same thing God's saying to us. I'm telling you this stuff because I'm trying to help you. I love you. I love you so much. I'm not telling you tithing because I just want to see you broke. Ha, 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 I got your money. That's not why you're saying that. It's not why he's telling you to do be nice and forgive your enemies. He's not telling you just because he wants the people to walk all over you. Now I got a doormat. That's ridiculous. He's telling us this because he sees something in us that's going to prosper us and change our lives. So this is why he's talking to us about this stuff. He's giving us this information so it can help us avoid drama. Divorce is horrible. I've never been through it, but the people I watch go through that mess, it's horrible. It's horrible. When people don't have money, it's horrible. When people are sick, it's horrible. It's horrible. And God has a way for out of all of that stuff. When you see people are addicted to cigarettes and just, I mean, I watch my mom go through that and then the pain that comes behind that. And God doesn't want us to go through that. So he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But are we letting him love us? By keeping his commandments. Well, how do we do this? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Say, I walk in love. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. It's our girls, Mary and Martha, amen? So I want to take something from them and just use their life. I call this my Mary example. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does it not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? I need you to tell her to get up and come and help me. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice because she probably was fussing. Martha, Martha. Jesus, Lord. You're careful and troubled about so many different things. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary's chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Now, I want you to imagine, let's say somebody came over from the other side of the building and came over here and said, oh, John, stop, wait. I need you to get everybody in here up right now because the toilet is leaking, the kids are running amok, we need to get ready for Sunday. Get them up. Why are they in here listening to you? Why are they listening to Pastor Rick? We got stuff to do in ministry. Wouldn't that sound crazy? That don't even make any sense, does it? This is what's going on here. Jesus is in the house. And Mary has chosen, according to this, here's what Jesus said. He said, she's chosen the needful thing and the good part. Something that she needs and the good part. Instead of you going out doing all these other things, what do you need? You need to be, number one, in his presence. And number two, looking for a word. In his presence and looking for a word. So all these other things that we put into our lives, you know why this room ain't full right now on Wednesday night? Because nobody thinks the needful thing is important. Not nobody. Y'all are here, but some people. Because we fit church into our life and we don't make God our life. And so we don't put him first. So if that's a needful thing and you're not seeking to get in his presence and you're running around doing other things, is it a wonder we see people that go to church on Sunday struggle? Is it a wonder that we see people who don't go to church even in a worse state? Because they're not coming to get the word, the needful thing. Now, I'm not going to hype on just coming to a building. We got so many different ways to get the word. I want to ask you now, because you're here and you're looking in the mirror. How much word do you get and spend time in the presence of the Lord outside of just coming to this building? Because if you really love God, you want to spend time with him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to be in his presence. I want to talk to him. I want to hear what he's got to say. Because what everybody else got to say is cool, but it don't matter as much as what God's trying to say
to
me.
That's right.
So I'm doing all these other things. I'm searching. I'm trying to work, run my business. I'm working, as my mama used to say, moonlighting and sunshining and doing all these other things. And sometimes people got to do what they got to do. But I'm thinking about how much does God get out of us? And all he wants is you. Think about it, guys, you're on his mind. All he wants is you. How much are you so concerned with somebody else somewhere on the job or family members? We got to be concerned about friends, but how much are we seeking God for real? Look at Matthew 7. We're going to come back to this one. Matthew chapter 7. I'm almost finished. I'm trying to provoke some thought tonight. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many of you will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. That's how he said it twice. Have we not prophesied in your name? I was anointed. I stood up in the church. Listen. The Lord tells me to tell everybody, I prophesied in your name. In thy name have I cast out devils. I told the devil to go, rebuked the people, was healed, jumped up, shouted. In thy name, done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, you did all these other things, running around and all these things, but I never knew you. I never got a chance to get to know who you are. We never spent time together. And I want you to depart because I never knew you. You never tried to get to know me, and I never knew who you were. Now, you don't have to turn to Daniel, but remember Daniel 32? We've done this in past studies. He said the people who know their God will do some great exploits. Remember that? That's what it says. I think I wrote it down here. It says, if you know your God, he said, you'll do great exploits, great things. Why? Because I'm intimate with him. I'm talking to him. I'm spending time with him. And so I'm getting direction from him for my life and for his will and for his kingdom. And so he's talking to me and I'm conversing back with him. And now great things happen as a result of me spending time and loving on the Father. But when I don't do that, I don't do great things. I look for great things to happen to me, and they don't happen, and I'm struggling in life, and I'm striving for something, and it's almost like a dog. I have a dog. She ain't a puppy no more. She's getting bigger. And it's just so awkward to watch her chase her tail. Just around the circle, just, it's like, you know, Coco, stop. God, it's irritating watching you do that, man. You get all dizzy. How many of us are doing that? Getting dizzy, chasing our own tail, running around, just trying to make things happen when if we spend time with the Father and love on him, and just allow him to love us back, we can begin to see some great things happen for us. Now again, let's not lose sight of what I'm trying to show you here as a church. We try to put some things in order. We're not gonna order straws, french fries and stuff over the chicken and the hamburger. The thing for us that we gotta present to people is a real love of God. And you can't present a real love from God. You give them that fake stuff. You know, you can see when somebody get that fake smile. Hey, how you doing? They don't really mean it. But a sincere love becomes because I've spent time with one that loves. When I spent a whole lot of time with Elder Speed during the week or later on, I start talking like him. I do. I start sounding like him. You know, you spend time with somebody, you start saying things like certain people when you spend a lot of time with them. Think about what you would say if you spent more time with God. Think about how you would talk. Think about how you would look. Think about even your walk, how you would be so confident. What would you be like? By hanging out with one who can make it better. All right, say, I walk in love now. Yeah, this is the thing. I called a ministry today, and this ministry, they just so loving, man. Just so loving. We just talked about some things. They were more happy over something we were having here than I was. Just so excited, just so loving, just so pleasant, and you could feel the love through the phone. It wasn't fake. It's like, oh my God, Elder John, I'm gonna tell you something. We're just so excited. And it was just for real. It was for real. I could feel the love. I've been to this ministry before, and it's just everybody. I mean, I walked around, they said, we were told that we had a VIP from DC. VIP? I'm looking around, they're talking about me. walking me around, treat me like royalty, because that's what true love does. And you can't give that unless you have been experienced, that experience. So when you spend time with God and the atmosphere is set, you can't help but give it back to somebody else. Y'all hear what I'm telling you now? Say, I walk in love. Well, now let's think about these two things, and I'm not going to belabor the point tonight because we're done. There's two things that I saw in that Luke chapter 10. One, I saw Mary. The Bible says Jesus said this was good, and she chose the right thing. One, she chose to be in his presence, and that's the worship experience that you got to have. You got to have a worship experience. And it's not just something you do here at the church. You know, true worship is, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to flow with it and do it. But when we talk about worshiping God, it's because, Lord, I'm looking to do whatever you want me to do. My heart is pliable to you. So when I sing songs to him, telling him he's more than anything. And I've told Jeannie that several times. When we sing songs that's directed towards him, you notice how the atmosphere just changes? Because we're giving him our attention. And so when we're in here in worship and we're loving the Father like we're supposed to love him, just look how what happens. He shows up, people get healed, you get wisdom, great. You can feel him. Tangible, I can feel the presence of the Lord when we're focused on him. And you need to get into a place where that's what you do. You just set an atmosphere of worship all the time, in your car, in your house. Sometimes if you don't got music, just say, Lord, you're just marvelous. And I just give you the glory and I give you the praise. And why? Because when I get his presence, now I can start hearing his voice. Let me read this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 29, and the message says, but even there, if you seek God, your God, you'll be able to find him if you're serious. Looking for him with your whole heart and soul. So I'm not just here to sing a slow song. Lord, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for your presence. We know he's with us all the time, but I'm looking for you to show up and not just show up in the atmosphere just to, so I can feel good. Because it says that Mary was looking, she was there hearing his words. So Lord, say something, because I need some answers. And I know when I set the atmosphere right, I can clearly hear your voice. So fasting is always good. Psalms 20, 22 and 3, you guys know this. But thou art holy, O thou, that inhabits the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. So he's always looking for you to give him praise, because why? He wants to show up. He wants to come down here and dwell and hang out. He wants to show up. So he's on the inside of you, but he wants to manifest himself. So how do I do that? I start lifting my hands and I tell him how wonderful he is, how much I love you. I can't live without you. There's nothing I could do without you. Sometimes I'm walking and say, you know what, Lord? I'm tripping right now, but you know what? You're still good. And sometimes you have been so upset, you can't think of no other words. You say, Lord, I just know you're still good and I just love you. Begin to worship and things will start working out. I mean, I was going through the stress thing last year, and I said, Lord, I got to, let me get in your presence. And just playing worship music just took me to another level. And I just started talking to him and telling him how wonderful it is, how marvelous it is. I set up my playlist, my worship playlist, with songs that are just about him. Amen. I got a song called Welcome. You are welcome in my life. You are welcome in this place. You're more than welcome. I don't shut you out, Lord. You are welcome. Now, as he starts to come and his presence shows up, now he'll start expressing his love, because when he shows up, he brings love. And as he's bringing love and I'm loving him, he's loving me back. That's the first key for us as a ministry to start changing the lives of people when they come in here. We got to have love for the Father. Y'all ready to go with me with this love thing?
Yes, sir.
Come on, stand up. Let's love the Father for just a minute before we go home.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Now, don't think about something you won't. Don't think about drama. Just, you know he's been good to you. You know he's been wonderful to you. Just lift your hands and tell him that we just love you, oh God. And we keep your commandments, Father. And we know that you dwell in our praises. So we just thank you and give you praise for making us new, oh Lord. Sending us Jesus. Transforming our minds, oh God. I'm just so grateful, Father. I know where I could have been, oh Jesus. But you sent people in my path to help me and to bring me out of that ditch and to save my life, oh God. I thank you so much, oh Lord. You are my Abba Father. You're my all in all. You're my great I am. You're my strong tower. You're the lover of my soul, Jesus. I love you so greatly, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every place that I couldn't see that was crooked, you're still making it straight. So I love you for that, Lord. Even the things that I can't see right now, you're still working it out and you're making it work for me, Lord. So I thank you, Lord. You predestined me. You thought about me before the foundations of the earth. And I'm so grateful for that, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for loving this ministry, loving the people here. We love you, Lord. We love you so much, oh God. We love you so much, oh God. We love you. Thank you, Father. Rimo siende vikieto robo revete la boca.